Welcome to Windows into Eternity with Almeen. This hour you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Good evening, my light family from all over the world. We are very, very happy to share this hour with you tonight. I've actually not been home very long. I spent a very, very long trip traveling from Ohio to Newport and dodging storms all over the country. We had incredible wind storms and then 100-mile-an-hour headwinds on the way to Denver, which was sort of my third set of tickets that we had tried to get me to get home. And then when I arrived in Portland, so did the wind, and we had very high winds there as well. So I've had a very long 2 days trying to get home, and I've not been home many hours. So I wanted to share with you some things. If I may, I think I'd like to start tonight by sharing with you my personal events that have taken place with me in the last 2 days, because I have seldom had such topsy-turvy, toss-me-on-my-head things happen as I've had in the last few days, and it has to do with most of my life. So I will share with you what is going on, and then I will share with you why, because I suspect that yours might be equally dramatic. I had an incredible pod last week in Toronto. We were in this absolute beautiful, beautiful space. And, during the pod week, we felt like we were in heaven. We just felt like the world was far away. It was absolutely the most incredibly beautiful week that we could have had. During the week, I seemed to get, and this is like about the fourth time that it's happened, I seemed to get a great deal of just pages and pages of complaints or quibbles or things from my students flooding in during this week. And during this week, our beloved sister, Denise Ronzani from Colorado, she's an oracle and also has been our facilitator there. Denise had a dream in which there was a swimming pool, and she was going there to take her two beautiful little sons in there, and she noticed that it was really filthy with sewage. And the sewage was flooding into the pool. It was also around the pool. And, you know, people were swimming in this absolute filthy sort of cesspool. And she just grabbed her kids. She didn't want them to touch the water with their feet. And she took them out of there. And she said it was such a profound dream. She wanted to understand what was happening. Well, the bottom line of it is, I flew from Toronto to Ohio, and I looked at the board 4 times. In addition to that, I asked somebody the gate where I'm making my connection 2 times. I'm in Minneapolis. I need to get to Ohio because I have a television show that night. 3 times or 4 times I looked at the board. It said A3. 2 times when somebody spoke to me, they said A3, and these are officials that of the airport that I'm asking. But at the gate, there's hardly anything going on. And I noticed there was quite a bit of activity by A4, which is a little bit away. So as I sat there finishing up a manuscript that I was doing, I really paid attention to every single announcement. I heard them say that A4 was going to LaGuardia in New York. So I missed my airplane. A3 is basically a gate that's never used. Who in the world has an airport with a gate that's never used? But Minneapolis does, A3. And so, you know, I missed my plane, so I can see I'm going to miss my television show as well. So in between this, there's this absolute feeling of blissful peace and total clarity. I can see how my eyes deliberately deceived me to read A4, A3, because I was not supposed to be on the television show. So, you know, I couldn't understand why. And I finally, very late that night, made it, and I let my beloved sister Jan and her hubby know that, listen, don't pick me up. I don't expect you to do this. It's late at night by the time I finally get there because I missed my plane. But they were there, bless their hearts, with a beautiful bouquet of white flowers for me. And they took me to the usual hotel. I have been going to the Ohio Light Expo for multiple years. So I go to Ohio, to the usual hotel. My room has been canceled because they had me booked for the night before, and I was a no-show, so they canceled my room completely. And the whole town's hotels are full because of the big football game going on in Ohio. So finally, they found a hotel for me way out where they live, and we go and check in. And then I realized that the suitcases that Jan's husband, Buzz, had carried, my briefcase included with my passport and all my manuscripts, for Pete's sakes, in there, he'd somehow left standing on the sidewalk next to the car. And so, you know, we had to call the hotel, ask them to go out, fetch it in, and he had to go and get it. I book in for two nights. The next morning, they try to tell me that I only booked for one night and I'm supposed to leave the hotel, but finally they had a room and I could stay two nights. I go to do my talk, and I have spoken for years at the Ohio Light Expo in this beautiful auditorium with the music that I put on. I come in ahead of time, there's beautiful flowers and seats and everything for the people. This time, the only room they have, and they say this is for our main speakers, there's no other room, is a room in which there's dirty coffee cups and old empty water bottles lying. It's icy cold. There is neon lights, just bright. Nobody can hardly see it so bright. And everybody is sitting there shivering. I can't stand up because there's a screen above my head. So I have to sit and talk to them. No podium. There was one part of a pot plant standing somewhere, but no dimmer on the lights. We get the organizer in. She says, sorry, I can't dim the lights much more than a tiny bit, which she tries to do. So, you know, it just, the disrespect of coming in there with this material that we're dealing with and to my audience, that they have to sit there in this awful ambience and coldness. So I complained to him. He says, well, you know what, then perhaps you just don't come back because you've been here a few years. How about taking a few years off? And I could feel it was absolutely correct. You know, it might have been extremely facetious because I have always been one of the top draws for their show. But nevertheless, he was absolutely correct. I could feel it in my heart. So I won't be back, I don't know till when, to the Ohio Light Expo at all. And the other thing is, you know, I go to my room after working most of the day, and again, somebody wanted to do a radio interview. And the answer was clear no inside. The next morning, I woke up, and I heard clearly, this must be canceled. I thought, what in the world? My eyes are open and I'm hearing this voice through my room. It's apparently an angel speaking to me in English, which is very unusual because they usually speak in their language. I said, what must be cancelled? Oh, is this the Malaysian event that's most of my March next year is booked in Malaysia and Singapore and Indonesia and down to, I mean, it's an entire tour of the Pacific. And it's saying to me, you absolutely have to cancel it. And it says, if you go, it will be a fiasco. So, you know, I canceled it. And I'm booked to speak at the LA show and the LA New Age show is one of the largest, and I was very, very happy to get in there. But at this time, unless something changes, I'm not to be there either. Only a table, and we will be handing out flyers and selling books and making my materials available. But after fighting and putting up a real big effort, my beloved Hilda in Kentucky managed to get me in the show, and now I have to cancel. And this is the case with a lot of venues next year. And it has turned me completely topsy-turvy. I just, you know, I couldn't understand it. I still don't fully understand it. But the one thing that I do know is that, you know, that there are, of course, some venues left. We're still in Tampa, Florida. We're still in Toronto several others. But the bottom line of it is that my life has to be different. The closed pool that we've been in, we're basically a light family. So, you know, when we have a test, everything sort of ends up in my lap. The bottom line of it is that we have made a dramatic shift, and my life is shifting with it. And my brothers and sisters, I've taken a lot of time to tell you about my life. Normally, I don't do this, but I will tell you that yours is possibly going to shift the same. And I asked the infinite, and I had silence and silence and silence. And after 2 days of not understanding what was happening, I did as I was told. I could see it was necessary. It felt good and it felt clear. And I remember distinctly saying to myself at the end of the Toronto workshop, from this point on, there will be absolute clarity. Well, you know, absolute clarity means that you don't waste your own time, that you know what the next step is. But when something is in an old, because a swimming pool in a dream is a closed circuit, it's a gene pool that's just, you know, the same intermingling into the gene pool. And somehow it's going to be different. Because when a family is quibbling or whatever, you know, it kind of spreads through the whole pool. But this is not the way we're to live anymore. And so, you know, I've actually sent a letter out to ask people if they have a problem. In 2 or 3 sentences, please. Because we've been having 6-page faxes from people, both in-house and also to our staff. Please, can we do it in 3 sentences? And can we go straight to the person that can fix it? That's all it takes. We're all delighted to fix things. We just have to know in 2-3 sentences. And just, you know, if you give us the points, we do everything we can in the staff to create that, to create equity and peace and so on. So my brothers and sisters, the issue is this. In the last few times that I've had to get my suitcase lugged out of my house, put it in my trunk, get to the airport, you know, get on that airplane, the last few times that that's been happening, in my heart, it's like something was just saying, I can't do all this flying anymore. And also my little daughter has more and more and more, you know, she has never had a doctor because she's that healthy, but she's been starting to manifest sore tummies and things every time I come back so that she doesn't have to go to school because she's trying to tell me she's not with me enough. And it's been hurting my heart because I have really felt that. She's 10. It's a time that she particularly needs me as she goes into puberty. And in my heart, it just hasn't felt right for me to travel the way I've traveled. This is, for me, as large a leap of faith as it was for Jaylene to go to a brand new school. Because she, too, was in a sort of a closed pool in which stuff was being dumped at her. And the dumping at her came from students in overcrowded classes. I've taken her out. I discussed with her that the signs everywhere around us, the signs were pointing that this is the right decision, even though we're scared, because she was very, very scared. She didn't want to go to a new school. You know, and this, for me, it is the same. It is a leap of faith that somehow what we're doing, and, you know, the Infinite has confirmed that our team is a good team, but what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. And the fact that something feels wrong, that I am going onto airplanes, you know, in with the increased number of flights that I've taken since the monetary situation globally has affected everybody. I've just worked harder. It's time for that to end. You will feel in your heart when something doesn't feel life-enhancing. Finally, after 2 days of just silence, just allowing me to experience what I get as a prayer when I say I would like clarity. Clarity means there's no two ways about it. You're not going to do your usual detours to get to the right spot. It's going to, you're going to see things wrong, you're going to hear things wrong, whatever it takes, but you will end up at the wrong gate if you're not supposed to even be on that television show. So, you know, I don't know what television show and what not, but 2 days later, finally the Infinite gave me the following words. It's not about profit, it's about joy. What is it that brings you joy? I didn't feel like doing that particular show because I just came out of such holiness. And my class and I, at the end of that week, looked at one another and we knew there were no questions left. There was really nothing to say. And so having nothing to say, wanting to be in silence, I created the clarity to show myself this is not joyous. And so, you know, I tremendously look forward to doing that cruise, for instance, in January. I know it's going to be joyous. Our Christmas part always is very, very joyous. So I know that those things that are a delight versus it's hard because I've just come out of holiness and it doesn't fit for me to go right into something commercial like a large show that has all these vendors everywhere. It's very, very commercial. It just didn't fit. So we are going to experience far more of a strong self-guidance system. Now, why are we in such clarity? When I was in New York, and very much so also when I was in Colorado, life started to dramatically change. In fact, you know, I had some of the students tell me what happened to them after the New York part of 3 days and after the Colorado part of 3 days, how their life changed. Even sitting in public transit and like a transport like, you know, the underground or a bus or something, how they felt about the people that were there with them, how they knew their oneness. My brothers and sisters, we have been in a matrix within a matrix within a matrix. It has created karma for us in the past. Because when a scenario is lived that is not that which the Infinite is, it creates for itself a mirror. And so we ended up with all these layers of personal matrices as well as the cosmic karma or dharma, I guess is what you would call it if it's a whole cosmos. But the bottom line of it is that your mirror would give you the reverse. So let's play, say this time you play a perpetrator and, you know, and there's a victim. Next time you're the victim, they're the perpetrator. It reversed the scenario. It made karma lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And it felt like we just couldn't get out of the mirrors. We have been in those mirrors for eons of existence. And we started to come out of it in when we were in New York. Then I could feel by the feeling of food not digesting, you know, discomfort above the belly button, and all my students and myself have usually had that when something is courting us from the past or from anywhere. Because when we were in those matrices, we were in a wheel that went round and round, and the future and the past at some point are the same. So I knew that there was something that had not been solved or seen or cleared up. That was like karma, and it was pulling us back. It had us corded. So what happened is that during this last week, the clarity has dawned on creatures throughout the cosmos as to exactly how we were pulled back, why we were pulled back, and so forth. I am going to share with you as much as I can how this happened, what is now different, and then now that I've shared with you what's happening in my life, which is, I mean, I wake up in the morning and I can just feel my whole life is different. What I thought was my future is different. A lot of what I planned, any time I start to plan, I can immediately feel that there's a problem. You know, I've not run my business by accident. It has taken cash flow planning. I have multiple people who get salaries. You know, that takes some cash flow planning, everything else. I can't do it anymore. Every time I try and plan, there's just like a wall in front of me, and I can't even see or think clearly. So a lot of what I've planned is gone. Certainly, this was not my idea of how I would transition to another way of spreading the teachings, to just, you know, cut so many parts. But it has happened. And in fact, they asked me that question in Toronto, and I said, well, we're going to cut some, but there's still going to be quite a bit. No, there's going to be quite a few. And most of the teaching is going to take entirely different method. The other thing, too, that is going to have to be very different is that there's a certain expectation of how long completion should take. It's very fascinating because I've had that shown to me by two of our A team, if you will, that our support team that I work with. I asked Hilda to do something to design some sort of a method in which we wish to get our materials into foreign markets. She told me that would take a year and a half. Well, I got off the phone, and the infinite says, tell her she has till the end of December. By then, it has to be in place, because that is actually going to end up paying her salary. So, I had to call her back and say, I'm sorry, you have till the end of December to figure this whole thing out and get it up and running and complete it. It's not going to take a year and a half. My brothers and sisters, we can't just sit and pacify reason and go over and over and over trying to perfect something. We will hear it. It will be perfect. We do it. It is done. The second guessing of ourselves, and the other thing is this pacifying of reason that no longer exists, is an old method. You know, wasting people's time with hours of conversations and pages of faxes and emails and things, when it can take a few minutes to simply say what one wants to say, allow people to respond, counter back. I mean, it doesn't have to waste people's time like that. And it has to come to an end. 6-page emails going around with gripes and things, this is absurd. We can do things right now. I am determined that every time I start to give myself a time, like, oh, this will take me a week, or this will take me a month, that I'm going to say, no, it's going to take me a matter of hours, maybe not even that, and it's done, and it's going to be perfect. It's time for us to live our new truth. What is our new truth? We were in these matrices for a very, very, very long time, because this is where life was created. However, from outside these matrices, a nanosecond has passed. the ages of travail and that we think we've been through and pain and or it, they never really existed at all. We have now come out of that matrix. The pieces that were left behind, everything has been solved, and in enough of us realizing that it never really existed, it's no longer there. If one thinks as of a cosmos, as a specific space inside a matrix or membrane, we no longer have a cosmos if that is its definition. What do we have then? I believe it was on my last radio show that I spoke to you about the fact that I was experiencing this depth of existence. Instead of just life being in a flat, two-dimensional screen in which the masters are those who have managed to see themselves as the whole screen, the average person in the street is the one who sees himself as the little dot in the middle of the screen, basically, all of the above is still in the screen. It's only when you get off of that screen that you realize that there you've lived on the surface of the ocean, and when you actually start to sink into its depths, you realize that there never was a surface. You have always been part of all things, and there's no differentiation. The mediocrity that was being mirrored is that come out of the gene pool. Come out of it being a small light family. Come out of living the shallowness of existence. There is an entire depth below. I do not know how this is going to go in my life or what this means. I just simply know that the way my work has to be done is different. And until I take the leap of faith to cancel those things that are according to the infinite not working, that, you know, I couldn't see it right away, but I can see my next step each day. And if it means to cancel things that are joyless to me, then that is what it means. So my brothers and sisters, your world will open up. You have been in a shallow disk, along with me, along with the cosmos, along with all of creation. As we start to live from the depths, the other thing that has absolutely escalated, and I forgot to tell you about this, but since I've left Toronto, the miracles have been profound and immediate. I want something, there it is. I ask a question, here's the answer. It's immediate. I've also noticed that, you know, this flying against the wind and the destructuring that's happened everywhere. The world is somewhat topsy-turvy itself. It's no longer a little planet on a flat screen. It is a field integrated with the vastness of existence. And so the world itself has been turned very much topsy-turvy with its weather patterns, etc. My brothers and sisters, you can hold everything steady by knowing that you are all things, by knowing that the world exists within you. You can hold it steady. No matter that my life was topsy-turvy because of the great blessing of the week that I had in Toronto, I felt this total, clear steadiness in me. And it felt a bit like, you know, now I haven't been sick with like flu or anything for many, many, many years, but I do remember when I had flu or something way, way back, and you spend days in bed and you're sweating and you come out the other side, there's this strange, silent clarity. This is how life feels when one realizes that you are, there's no other being than yourself. You are all things. you've been living from the shallowness of a tiny little portion of your being, yet there is no portion, because there can be no division. You just imagined it. And as you start to live in this great depth, ability to make a mistake, the ability to deviate from what your next step is. And what determines our next step? The unfoldment of the infinite life that we are. And even though we may not see what it is that's unfolding, as long as we trust that we are hearing the only thing that can ever be heard, the voice of the self, the one life, unfolding. There is nothing else to hear, because there is not more than one being in existence. My brothers and sisters, the other thing that began in Toronto, which is a complete wonder when it starts to kick in, is omnisensory perception. My class would speak to me, and I would, as they speak, I would see their images that they're trying to convey, but it isn't seeing the image. It's as though I'm living the image. For instance, they'd be telling me about something that happened at their house. I can see their house. I can see it happen, but I'm just not seeing it. I'm experiencing it. It's happening to me. This is omnisensory perception. You know, before I told you when I was in Sedona and, there was a brother who came in to play some music, and how I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because I could see and feel the music. This is even beyond that. You are them, and so when they are trying to communicate to them, you are experiencing it because you already did, because you are them as well. So whatever they experience, it's already in you, because you are their experiences. So this started to occur. And I was interested in trying to understand whether or not, because of how different life felt to us. My class and I, when we left there, I was interested in knowing whether or not life on the street would be different. Well, I immediately felt like I saw, but I was, a chrysanthemum. And I could see how the chrysanthemum's form is like music unfolding. It is like a exquisite chrysanthemum's flower petals unfolding. The center ones are still closed because it's part of its shape. If it opened wide, it would be a daisy. It would not be a chrysanthemum. In fact, and one of the brothers in my class bought me a beautiful scarf of silk with chrysanthemums on it because I was so moved by this experience. I could see that every person, at whatever level of slumber or awakeness they are, they were exactly what they should be. It's like the piano, and some notes are playing loudly and others are gently accompanying it. And so, my brothers and sisters, life is different. It will be more dramatically so for the major light workers, because the disc that was contained in the matrix has dissolved. The many methods of changing life that as masters we have practiced has dissolved with it. First there was linear change, transformation, shedding the old, transmutation, changing lead to gold, in other words, alchemy, leveraging consciousness, and then there was transfiguration. Our online courses, and incidentally, I think that you have 2 days or so left to sign up for the Academy of Alchemy course, so I should remind you of that. And the Academy of Alchemy course has 3 months, and it ends on the 31st of December, and then there's a 1 month course, which is the Alchemy of the One, that has incredibly beautiful information in it, including the Key Vesta, which I thought would be available to all. It's a phenomenal device that manifests. It will be made available for that 1 month January course. So what we have is that they mimic these changes, the transformation and the transmutation and the transfiguration. On the 1st of November, we have yet again the course, The Science of Immortality and Incorruptibility, starting up. Plus we have, which is a rerun of the previous one, plus we have the Institute of Human Potential opening its doors. And its three-month course is incredible in revealing the secrets of man. The secrets of man that we will be discussing on board ship, and the entire package for the Sedona workshop, the flight, the bus trip, you know, the boat cruise, and my 18 hours of lectures on the boat cruise at night when we're at sea. All of it is a package that, for some amazing reason, our beloved sister Joanne has managed to do for us. And it is something that will cost you $1,200. You know, if you're with me for 5 days, it's $1,000 anywhere in the world. My brothers and sisters, we have 6 days total of teaching, plus the cruise, plus the airline, plus the bus, and it's $1,200. So it's a very good deal. But anyway, so that is like an extension, because it's the end of January, and the end of January is when the Institute of Human Potential has studied these deep mysteries of humanity and the earth, and this secrets of 130 sacred and secret libraries of the earth that has never before been translated. So those are part of the triangle of change. Now, my students have asked me, why is it that there's such linear things that are in these classes when we've come out of linearity and everything should be exponential and at once? And by the way, those of you that are listening to me that are on these institutes, whether it's the Institute of Applied Mysticism, and you can see what's on there if you're new to my work by going to www.appliedmysticism.com, or the other one is academyofalchemy.com. So if you go and take if you are on this course, if you could please put this on the forum for those that are not listening on the virtual student lounge where you discuss with your fellow students, and if you could please tell them this. The reason that there still are, for each of these three courses, linear methods of sacred ceremonies, etc., is because you are building a stairway. And this was received by me directly from the infinite when I was in Toronto, that the masters of the earth are building a stairway by going through these sacred ceremonies. First of all, humanity follows behind. The chrysanthemum's leaves are not all opening at once. And this is very fascinating to me, because the Institute of Human Potential, when I got the Institute of Human Potential, I could see that its symbol was a chrysanthemum. And, you know, didn't quite understand why, but I've never told anybody this, and it's not necessary that we use it, it's just that we understand it, that it's part of the unfolding of the petals, so that the petals that are still closed have a way to follow behind. When these 9 months of three-month courses are completed, the way from that point on that the courses will be conducted is entirely different. It will be effortless, and it will be immediate, and it will be exponential. But that is only coming on the 1st of February 2010, when we have completed the gestation period of building a way of sacred government through self-government and a way for the masses to follow. So, now, if we go a little further, change then was transformation, transmutation, transfiguration. After that, there are two more ways of changing. That's called changeless change. And what they are is that, you know, the Ho'oponopono, where you change within to get people to change without. That's one way. Another way is what the Institute of Applied Mysticism's course trains people in the first months. The entire month has 144 illuminations that have been given to us by the God Kingdom. And in it, people see the illusions of life, many of which we have revered as our highest truth, something like wisdom, something like truth. You know, because there's no untruth, there can be no truth. Something cannot be made real by defining it by its opposite. So what happens when you start to use that is the very last form of changeless change, and that is that you see the illusion for what it is. You see something happen, and you realize, look, number one, there is no such thing as relationship. This is something that is supposedly in relationship. No longer. See, let me give you an example. At my booth where I went to sign my books in between my hour talk and my 3-hour lecture, I had a lady come up to my booth and verbally just abusive language, except she was talking in another language and she thinks I don't know what she's saying, but horrible abuse. Is she different than me? No, she is me. I realized there's no relationship, and finally I told her she had to be quiet, and then she still wasn't, so I told her now she has to leave, so eventually she left. But I realized that it was self-abuse for me to continue to travel when my heart wanted to be more with my daughter, and because of the hardship for me coming out of these holy, holy places like what we've established in Toronto, and then having to go into this commercialism and on airplanes and so on. And it was self-abuse. That's simply why she was attracted into my environment. So my brothers and sisters, the recognizing the illusion of things so that, like the sun that just keeps looking at the mountain, the mist disappears until the mountain, which is that which is real, starts to reveal itself. This is our other way of having change take place through changeless change. The other way that we have change take place, which is changeless change in another way, but it is beyond the two methods of where you're actively doing something, is exactly what we're doing with our sound elixirs. And you can read about it by going to angelsoundhealing.com, www.angelsoundhealing.com. And on there, we have until Christmas, we've got the sound elixirs on special, where we create one just for you, for your life. But what they do is they create exact balance of white light and black light. When you have white light and black light in perfect balance, now the 18 sound elixirs, which, you know, are only $18, they do the same thing. When that happens, what you've created is you've created a null point. A null point cancels out the illusion in its environment. Now, let's go to the way that change is now taking place. By understanding, without a shadow of a doubt, that there is only the divinity of your one being expressing itself in every way that it wishes. It does not express as the many. That is simply a stair that we laid in the staircase for humanity to follow us, my brothers and sisters. We currently, if you just take a look at the one expressing as the many, one thinks that to go into ascension is for the many to then reunite as the one. It cannot be so. Anything that can separate isn't real in the first place. It is an imagination, a dream, whatever, a fantasy. Anything that can separate isn't real. That which is real never has separated, nor can it be. And so, for us to think that the one is expressing as the many, no, it was a momentary dream. But for those of us or that were in the dream, the parts of us that were in the dream, the imagined parts of us, it seemed like eons. Why then are we seeing each other as separate? Separation appears to be there not because it's separate, but because of different emphasis. If we have, for example, a piano, is each one of us a note? No, that was the dream. What each one of us is the piano with a specific emphasis of a note. Many of us have played together as chords during sections of this eons of existence. So we come to think of those chords as our family. We come to think of them as our closed pool. No longer can we think of these as our family and those as not. My brothers and sisters, on the piano, if all notes played at once, we would have no music. The one life is a piano that never ends. And within its own being, our being as the one, we emphasize specific parts of our beingness. And the very fact that other parts are not currently awake, the petals of the chrysanthemum that had not unfolded, is a gift because it emphasizes the notes that do play. It is the support of those who are asleep that are clearly defining the exquisite expression of those who are awake. Individuation is the soul. It is the formlessness within the dream. That which is the body with the form. Formlessness and form do not in fact exist. There is no formlessness and no form. There is merely the infinite being expressing through alternating emphasis. If Mary is across the room from me and I am over here, I am Mary. I am also here. I am just within my being, emphasizing my awareness of that which is over here a little more than I'm emphasizing what I am as Mary. That's all. And that is simply what makes us think of ourselves as I. I do want to thank the many, many, many of you that have written in about the miracles with the sound elixirs. My brothers and sisters, it is such a delight to me. You know, I was just in Ohio, and Jan, actually, as one of the vendors at the show, she's our dean of the Belvaspitar Institute, and actually, sorry, it's an academy, and she's the dean of the academy, and but she did the sound healing. Now, if you get your 18 sound elixirs for $18, you can download a sound healing that goes with it. She said, Elmine, you cannot imagine the miracles that were happening to people as they were experiencing the sound healing with those sound elixirs. My brothers and sisters, the instantaneous letting go of separation, which is the only thing that illness is part of that change that is effortless. But also the other part of what is so effortless is simply remembering that relationship never was, that separation never happened, that the past or the future cannot exist, that all there is the moment. And in this moment, we are fully supported by the oneness of our own being. Please let us look at life as ourselves. Even to look at life unfolding through us is a relationship. There is no more cosmic mind. 13 minds of the cosmos have been erased. There is the left and right brain mind. There's the high mind. There's the subconscious or low mind in which we used to stuff those things that we didn't process. There is the instinctual mind. There is the heart mind. Scientists have actually found groups of cells that are like non-cognitive brain of the heart. There is the cellular mind. There is the sexual or procreative mind. Then there is the mind, and these are the minds that have been eliminated. Then there's the mind that is actually an unconscious mind in that it is of black light. And the black light, that's how these, you know, nefarious methods have been done against humanity of mind control and the heart facilities by using the black light and frequency, which is why we have created the sound elixirs, and there's more coming. Because we have, currently we have received, I don't know if Paul has in my absence received more, but I know that I received 7 different star groups music like nothing I've ever heard. And that with every single one of them, profound changes were happening to me in the way that I could love. So, you know, I know that there will be more, but this is the unconscious mind that is so at risk unless we have a method to remove its illusions that are placed in it, which is what this does. Then we have got I forget now which ones I told you, but the cellular mind, which is in the nucleus of the cell, and it interprets the light that comes in at subliminal levels. We also have the group heart mind. We have the group mind. And then we have got what's called the divine sovereignty, where people work with one heart and one mind. And then the 13th one is the earth-heart connection. Earth and heart is spelled the same. It's just that the letters are backwards. So, you know, they're jumbled up a bit. But earth and heart have the same letters. We have been entraining one another. If the earth is polluted, our body gets polluted. If our body is polluted, the earth gets polluted. And many other ways. These have been eliminated, my brothers and sisters. The individuation of soul as part of what makes us who we are is also eliminated. What we are is the one, and we're emphasizing different notes as we play the exquisite perfection of spontaneous music, the way that Paul and I have to compose the music is not composition. It is spontaneous, and that's the way we are to live. Thank you so very, very much for joining me, and until next time, goodbye.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.